Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Noah's excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Celebration or festival, as we may call it, is what our Christianity is hinged on. If we remove this, what happened over this weekend, if we remove it from Christianity, then Christianity is no more what we call it. Everything is hinged on what happened over this weekend. Hallelujah. Amen. And we're gathered here. It's not as if maybe we don't know what is going on, or we are gathered here to appreciate more, to give attention to this and appreciate more what the Lord has done for us in his mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like Jude said, in Jude 1:5, he said, I will therefore put you in remembrance. So we are trying to remind ourselves of things that happen and to call our attention to things that matter in our journey. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. So, the topic for me is the Lamb and salvation. The Lamb of God and salvation. Hallelujah. The Lamb of God and salvation. Let's open our Bible to the book of Genesis chapter 32. That might be. That may be one of the five books of Moses or seven books of Moses. That would Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 22. Verse 7. Okay, 22:7. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yeah. So this is where where God told Abraham to go and sacrifice his son, and on the journey, the boy knows what happened when they offer sacrifice. And on their way, God discovered that something was missing. And he asked the father, where's the material for the sacrifice? And the father told him, that's where he said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And eventually we discover that down the line in history, we discover that God indeed found what? A lamp. What? For himself. Hallelujah. Amen. It wasn't the arrangement of man. It wasn't the concoction of man. It wasn't the plan of man. Because man, of course, did not know that he was in a very precarious situation. We were in a very dangerous position. We did not know. So therefore, we couldn't even cry for salvation. We couldn't even cry for God, for mercy, to save us. But God himself knows our position. He knows our situation. And what will be required for us to get out of that problem. And Abraham said what? God himself, what? Will provide the lamp for burnt offering. Hallelujah. Amen. And eventually we see that, and that's what we're going to look at, how the Lord did that. Made himself what? A lamb for what? A burnt offering. Let's open our Bible to John chapter 1. Let's see John chapter 1, verse 29. John. Okay, sir. Yes. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh the sin of the world. Before this verse, the people that gathered around John, you know, John was doing baptism in River Jordan, and they were asking him, who are you? Are you one of the prophets? Are you the Messiah? Are you many questions? And he told them, I'm not the Messiah, but he's coming. So after that conversation, Bible said the next day, John seeth what Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away what the sin of the world. Now he was trying to point to them, this is the answer to the question you guys were asking yesterday. And of course, I don't think they paid attention. I am going to see the reason why you did not pay attention. Hallelujah. The Lamb of God was that taketh what, which taketh away the sin of the world. He was the one that recognized Jesus. And in fact, that was his sole assignment. You can imagine that an assignment of one person on earth was that he just come and do what? And recognize Jesus. Just show this person to the people of Israel. Let them recognize this person. After that, you are finished. You are done. That was the whole assignment of what? Of John. Hallelujah. And he gave his indication. He said, down the line, he said, the person that told me to go and do this baptism, he said, the person that the Spirit land upon, that is the person, what? The person he was is the Messiah. That person was, is the Christ. And immediately that one happened, he knew that this was the person that he was talking about or was expecting. And the person he was supposed to what? Show to the people of Israel. So that, you know, the essence of showing him or recognizing him was for them to know the plan of God, then align themselves to it. Praise the Lord. It was not just for showing sake or for identification's sake, but for them to know that this was their Messiah and that they should follow him. And whatever he says, his actions, he's doing, whatever he says, he is towards this what this goal. As a lamp of God, what that takes the sin of the world. And of course, to us Gentiles, this word we look somehow. Hallelujah. As a Gentile, the lamp of God. What is the meaning of that? Praise the Lord. Now the people we were talking to, they knew. They understand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They what? They understand what he was saying. Because right from the onset, when God told them to get a lamp, when they were in Egypt, he told them to get a lamb. When God wanted to kill the firstborn of the Egyptians, he told them to get a lamb. And this was the way he told them to deal with the lamb. He said, told them, kill it, but one for each household. If you guys cannot finish one, then you call for other families, you guys to join together. Because you guys must finish that meal, that meat, that day. It must not cross over to the next day. Now, the blood of the lamb will be smeared on the doorpost, two doorposts like this, the two standing doorposts, then upon the what? Upon the lintel. And God told Moses to tell them that the reason why they are doing it is for them not to be destroyed. Because an angel of destroyer was going to come over Egypt and kill their firstborn. The only thing that will not make them involved in that the massacre or in destroying the firstborn is when he sees that blood. The moment that angel that was moving around Egypt to kill them, the moment he sees that blood, then he knows that this place, he should not touch it. Hallelujah. This place what? He should not what? He should not touch this place. He should not touch this household. And he told them, don't move out. Oh, this night, of all night, no party, nothing, nothing. Stay indoor. If you step out, whatever your high sees, that's your own palaver. Hallelujah. That was an indication to show what will eventually happen. That blood that they smeared on their doorpost was for them to be preserved, was for them not to be killed. Hallelujah. That's an element of what? Of salvation. Praise the Lord. An element of what? Of salvation. That you have been preserved not to be killed, not to be destroyed. That's an element of what? Of salvation. And we saw that when God told the children of Israel. That, and from there, when God now began to institute services in the tabernacle, we now began to see different kinds of what sacrifices, and which also would involve what? The killing of what? Of lambs. Hallelujah. Which was what? Involved the killing of lambs. And we discovered that there are different animals they use. God made sure that he had many options for sacrifices, so that he will not say that it's because I don't have this particular one. This one, he gave them many options of what they could use. In fact, if you don't have animal, there was even grain that you could not present as what? As a sacrifice. Praise the Lord. Well, of course, we discovered that this system had limitation. Praise the Lord. Let's check Hebrews. Hebrews 10. Now, I said that that word, the Lamb of God, was strange to the children of Israel. Now, I have to run down through the whole Testament to see what that word meant for a typical Jew. He knew what God was saying. Hallelujah. Now, if he was pointing to Jesus, that he is the Lamb of God, then he knows what it means. Hallelujah. Let's see that Hebrews chapter 10. Yes, starting from verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offer year by year, continually make the commerce thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, one spurge, should have had no more conscience of sins, that is, a remembrance of sin. Okay? But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Yes, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. In fact, including that of lamb too. Are you getting me? This lamb, the natural lamb, he couldn't have done that too. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he sees sacrifice and offering, thou wouldest not, but a body as thou wast prepared for me. In both offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. And above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and both offerings, and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish what? The second, let's say 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and what? For all. Now, the limitation we saw in verse 1 was that the blood of bulls and goats and other things that they were using could not take away sin. It could not blot out sin. So the only thing that it just maintain them to have what? A relationship with God, that God would not kill them. But to take away sin, it didn't. Hallelujah. And therefore God made a provision for that. He made a body.
He made what? A body that what? That would do that. That would be able to what? Take away sin. That would be able to deal with sin once and for all. Praise the Lord. Let's check that body. What John was saying, Jesus was what? Was the Lamb of God who taketh the sin of the whole world. Is that the... Let's check Isaiah. Let's see how Jesus, the Lamb of God, how he presented himself to be the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. Isaiah chapter 53. Let's see that prophecy that Isaiah made about Jesus. Isaiah 53. So I want to read it in Good News. So that is it. Okay. 53. Okay. Verse 1. The people reply, who would have believed that what we now report? Who could have seen the Lord's hand in this? It was the will of the Lord that his servant grow like a plant taking root in dry ground. He had no dignity or beauty to make us take notice of him. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing that would draw us to him. We despised him and rejected him. He endured suffering and pain. No one would even look at him. We ignored him as if he were nothing. Hallelujah. You know, this is typical of what happened to Jesus. You know, when we go through the Gospels, it looks as if we are blinded by the miracles, signs and wonders, that we think that Jesus was that popular to the people. In fact, especially to the people that he was sent to, the house of Israel. You would think that he was that popular. But this is the real situation of Jesus. Hallelujah. With his what? With his people. They despise him. He wasn't somebody that you could believe what should be a Messiah. Hallelujah. You know, verse 1 was saying, who could have seen the Lord's hand in this? When you see Jesus, definitely you will see that Eshushani. You just conclude that devil is the one in charge of this person's life, because the person, his life was not okay. Then who would have believed our report? You wouldn't have believed it, that this person was Jesus, was the Messiah that will eventually take what the sin of the whole world. That is a power sacrifice for God. That life that Jesus portrayed was what was the perfect sacrifice that could deal with sin. You know, Jesus, that statement, please, I like that statement that Abraham said, that he used to reply his son. He said, God will provide for himself. That particular sacrifice that will please him, he is the one that will provide. And he packaged it in Jesus. His life from the beginning to the end portrayed that. He was a man that was despised. He was a man that was not loved. He was rejected, endured suffering, pain, shame. If you want to talk about shame, Jesus had it to the peak. So you want to talk about suffering, he had it to the peak. You want to talk about pain, Jesus had experienced it at the peak level. None of us can take that kind of pain. We can't take that kind of shame. Most of us, me as a Pokusu, I'm telling you, you can't, the half of what Jesus bears, you can't take it. None of us can take it. Now, this way, even before the final on the cross, we are talking about his life
before what he eventually now died on the cross. This was his day-to-day experience. So don't all of us be looking at the cross. All of us are looking at the cross. No. Look at his life. What he has to endure every day. What he has to face every day. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. So none of us, if we were there in those days too, all of us wouldn't have believed that Jesus was the Messiah. We would have despised him. We would have been one of them that would stone him. Kill him! Let his blood be on us. We would despise him. Praise the Lord. So none of us, the miracles and signs and wonders that should have made him popular was reversed. People hated him. They did not want to associate themselves with him. So you could see that, you could see the reason that those disciples that followed him on a choice, they had to be rewarded. Because they could follow that man. I know, they had to be rewarded. That apostolic, they had to land on them. They saw it, they shared with the pain. With the despise, they shared with him. I know their friend would have said, sure, well, okay, bye. Everybody, boy, any you don't tell me. Oh, they don't meet any, like, yeah. The parents would talk. The family members would talk. Well, of course. I don't know how God helped those disciples to follow Jesus. I don't know how he did it. Praise the Lord. No one would even look at him. We ignored him as if he were nothing. You wouldn't have looked at him. What? You ignore him. As if he was what? He was nothing. Praise the Lord. No, he's looking lascive. He's not real. Praise the Lord. Because our own time now, if somebody is doing signs and wonders like Jesus did, he will be a popular, people will follow him. Praise the Lord. But he's looking at, but let me tell you, you wouldn't have looked at him. You will ignore him. As if he's nothing. Those are some wonders, miracles that he did made him unpopular. And Jesus knew. You know, after he did one sign and wonders overnight and everybody was healed, they wanted to call him and no, come now, let's make you king. And he knew, the Bible said he knew the heart of man. It was because of what he did that they wanted to follow. He provided food for them, he gave them food, love fellow food. If it was in this time of Emifili, everybody would have voted him. But let me tell you, in those days, you wouldn't have. Praise the Lord. God purposely put that hatred upon him. That people would should despise him. It was God that did it himself. That even with all these signs and wonders that he will be doing, people would hate him, would despise him the more. God did this. Because that was his own sacrifice. But you're calling him. He's the one that will take the sacrifice. So this is what will please him. Remember in Hebrews, he said that what? Sacrifice and offering. And so a body that he has prepared. Okay. Hallelujah. So a body was prepared. And what was the body for? To do what? Thy will, O God. So the hatred was what? Was part of the deal. And was part of the sacrifice that you had to bear. Hallelujah. Let me run fast. Verse 4. But he endured the suffering that should have been ours, the pain that we should have borne. All the while we thought that his suffering was punishment sent by God. Can you think of that? A little.
He endured the suffering that should be ours, the pain that we should have borne. All the while, we thought that what his suffering was punishment sent by God. Hallelujah. So that was the situation of Jesus. What suffering? The suffering, the shame, the pain that should have come upon us, Jesus took it up. And what? That was the way he lived. Everything that we as human should experience because of our situation, because of our dealings with sin, God put it on what? On Jesus. So if you have seen whatever Jesus passed through, it was what we should have passed through. So, but God decided to put it on what? On him. Now we would think that it's a punishment for, like I said, it's a punishment from God that he did something very wrong. As the friend of Job said, you must have done something. This kind of evil would have come to you. You have done something. Tell us and admit it. Just admit, simple, that you have done what? Something wrong. So if you are saying Jesus, tell us. You have offended, and therefore you deserve the punishment that is coming to you. No, it wasn't. It was for our sake. The things that happened to him were supposed to what happened to us. So God put it on him. Verse 5, but because of our sins, he was wounded, number one, beaten because of the evil we did. We are healed by the punishment he suffered, made whole by the blows he received. Verse 6, all of us were like sheep that were lost, each of us going his own way. But the Lord made the punishment fall on him, the punishment all of us would deserve. That was the punishment all of us deserve. But God decided to put it on Jesus. That is a description of what? Of that word, that statement that John made. He said, this is the Lamb of God that taketh the sin of the whole world. So that's the description of what? Of the Lamb. Every punishment that we deserve, that shall have come to us, every of the reward of disobedience, of our alliance to what to sin, everything was put upon Jesus. For our sake, he passed through it. Praise the Lord. For your sake, for my sake, what? He passed through all those things. He experienced it. He was treated harshly, but endured it humbly. He never said a word, like a lamb about to be slaughtered, like a sheep about to be sheared. He never said a word. He was arrested and sentenced and led off to die. No one cared about his fate. He was put to death for the sins of our people. He was placed in a grave with those who are evil, but he was buried with the rich, even though he had never committed a crime or even told a lie. The Lord says, it was my will that he should suffer. His death was a sacrifice to bring forgiveness. And so he will see his descendant. He will live a long life, and through him my purpose will succeed. After a life of suffering, he will again have joy. He will know that he did not suffer in vain. My devoted servant, with whom I am pleased, will bear the punishment of many, and for his sake I will forgive them. And so I will give him a place of honor, a place among the great and powerful. He willingly gave his life and shared the fate of evil men. He took the place of many sinners and prayed that they might be forgiven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Please, are we appreciating what Jesus did for us? It was indeed the perfect sacrifice. Like I said before, that all we all know, for example, that we are celebrating what? The day that he died. We all observe, take note of how he spent his life day to day. Every moment of his life was a life of sacrifice. The death of the cross was the climax of it. Every day he was dying. Every day was death for him. And he had to endure that because of us. The punishment that was supposed to come upon us, that humanity supposed to experience, the whole thing, they summarize it, they put it on one person. And they put it on Jesus. And like the lamb in the Old Testament, when they come to offer sacrifices, maybe for sin offering or a peace offering, eventually, what will happen to the lamb? Huh? The lamb will die. They will have to kill it. They have to kill it. And of course, the blood has to come out. Down the line of that, Hebrews chapter 8, 10, you see that, he said, talk about what? The shedding of blood. He said, without the shedding of blood, there can't be remission of sin. So that was the climax of it. That when he now was hung on the cross, now for his blood to be shed, finally, as a true lamp of God. And that what blood was for all, for cleansing of sins. To purge us from sin. That we will not have remembrance of sin again. That our conscience will have been purged finally. That we will no longer be coming as the children of Israel were coming. Every day, imagine every day they needed to sacrifice. Morning, evening. He did it once and for all. By what? By shedding his blood. He did not complain. He did not talk. He accepted all the punishment that God put on him. For our sake. For our sake. If you are not appreciating what Jesus did for you, please, I beg you, how will you think? What somebody passed through. Bible said he did not sin. He did not lie. There was no iota of sin in his life. But he had to place upon him all the shame, all the punishment that we deserve. We will deserve it. But God had to place it upon him. So that it would be what? It would be a perfect sacrifice. It would be the lamb of God. It's not your lambo. It's what? It's the lamb of God. He needed to die. He needed to shed his blood. God needed his blood for your sake and for my sake. If you are not walking properly, please adjust your life. Somebody paid for your life. It was a ransom. It was an exchange. That Isaiah, that prophecy shows that what? It was what? An exchange. What you deserve, everything, they place it upon somebody. So that you'll be set free and go. So, every day we need to what? Come to appreciate what Jesus has done. It is a day-to-day appreciation. It's not just when we come together like this and remember that we are doing Easter. No. is what? A day-to-day commitment, a day-to-day appreciation of what Jesus has done. The reason was what? Was for our sins to be purged, to be taken away. So that all of us can come in what, into salvation, can be saved once and for all. And he did that. God achieved that what? In Jesus. Can we stand up? Can we stand up? Can we stand up? It's a time to think. Like in the Old Testament, they say this is a solemn assembly. It's a time to what? To think. You need to think deeply of what Jesus did for you. If that is not just our, it's you. Personalize it. What you could have experienced, the judgment that was placed upon you was death. And it's not just death. It was a systemic death. Look at the life of Jesus. How they describe it? It was systemic. It wasn't once and for all. Maybe some of us we need to rededicate properly. We need to properly come to appreciation again. A proper evaluation and appreciation of what Jesus did for us as a Lamb of God. If you are saying that I've experienced shame, you have not. You don't know what shame is. You really don't know it. You don't know it. You don't know what pain is. That they said despise. You don't know what is it. All of this Jesus experienced for you and I. And we come to God today for proper evaluation of our life. Have we been working properly? Because that's the only way we can appreciate what Jesus has done for us. Are we walking properly? Are we living a life of obedience?
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.